Charles D. Morgan understands information. For years, he was the chairman and CEO of Axiom Corporation, a world leader and pioneer in accumulating large amounts of data. He's also a native of Fort Smith and a writer. His new memoir, Matters of Life and Data, The Remarkable Journey of a Big Data Visionary Whose Work Impacted Millions, Including You, discusses not only his work, but his personal life as well. Charles D. Morgan came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to talk about the book and about growing up in Fort Smith. He says his father also had the spirit of an entrepreneur, if not necessarily the required checks and balances to be financially wise.
And thank God he had my mother, who was a rule, who had the reason to slow him down, or he would have bankrupted himself, you know, every other year if it was up to him.
You write that he was always thinking reward, never thinking enough about risk.
Yes, he just said, "Gosh, that's a great idea. We got to do this." And mother would say, "How can we afford to do that?" "Well, we'll figure it out." You know, it's like, but Don, if we do that, then we might not be able to feed the family. "Well, don't worry, it's going to all turn out okay." And she would kind of say, "Don, we can't do that."
You write about an incident with your father interacting with Uncle Ralph.
I do.
Uncle Ralph, who was a rather coarse person.
Yes, he used a lot of words. I don't know how X-rated this show is.
We're not live. We can beep, so.
But Uncle Ralph would say, "I don't know about that. I'm not sure about this." I mean, he was just kind of that kind of guy. And he had a tendency to, particularly he liked his cocktails, which, you know, I still kind of do. My father wasn't a drinker, but we had to do family things at the Spear House. And my Uncle Ralph and his wife, Melanie, had some beautiful children and a beautiful, beautiful home on Hendricks Boulevard in Fort Smith. And we would do a lot of occasions and a few parties over there. And I can remember we were at a big family occasion over there one time. And my dad just always felt a little uncomfortable in this crowd. And I was probably 12 years old or something like this. And I remember it was a big living room. My dad made some comment and Uncle Ralph whirled around him and said, "Don, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about." And I mean, just embarrassed my father. I mean, it was a social gathering and, my father was just crushed. I'd hear all the relatives and family and, it turned into a big family flap. But, you know, he never had respect for my father and it showed. And, you know, to her very great credit, his wife, Melanie, felt so bad about it. She treated, me great. And actually, he treated me well, but.
You write that you tended not to really like that, though.
No, I didn't. I was, it down deep, it really irritated me because, look, here's this guy treating my father terribly. And, you know, it's almost like he's throwing my dad's face. "Oh, but I like your son. He's more a Spear than a Morgan." You know, that was the maiden name. And it just that undercurrent. And he embarrassed my dad, belittled him. My father worked for Uncle Ralph early on. And even though my father was the top salesman, he always got the worst territory. And apparently in their sales meetings and everything, my dad got no credit. He'd be the top sales guy. And it's almost like, "You got lucky again, Don."
That inspired you to try to become your own boss, right? Not have to answer?
No, I don't think so. I really believe, Kyle, that I have a little bit of that entrepreneurial thing that my dad had, and I don't know where it comes from, but maybe not necessarily watching my father, but I had a little bit of an entrepreneurial spirit. I'm going to digress here. This is actually, I don't think this is actually in the book, But I had a young friend in high school, and we'd gotten to be really good friends. And one night we were, I still remember, we were sitting in his, in a car outside of his house. And I think we were getting close to going away to college. And he said, you know, we are not going to go to the same school. We may not see each other. I've never seen him since. And he said, I hope that you'll remember me and hire me when you have a great company. And I went, what are you talking about? I was so nonplussed, I still remember it, obviously. Somehow or other, he thought I was going to have a great company. And, I'd like to hire him, but I disconnected from him. I've still always thought he was a great guy, a good friend of mine in high school, and we just went our separate ways. I think the entrepreneurism came from the fact that, we had a motel, we had a hardware store, and I had to deal with adults a lot, and I liked solving adult problems. And, I found the freedom to just go fix something or do something. I like that. And I had that freedom in IBM, believe it or not, because I was, the greatest job in the world was working for IBM in Fayetteville, Arkansas, because I had the University of Arkansas, I had Walmart, Tyson's Daisy Air Rifle, and I got to travel over to Save a Stop in Harrison, and I was on my own, and my boss was in Little Rock, Arkansas.
That's not bad.
I'm 27 years old. Can it get better than that?
Did you ever come in contact with Sam Walton?
A lot. Yeah, I did. Sam, early on, is. You all know who know his history, decided that he could use data processing computers to gain a competitive advantage. And I think it's probably not so well known that Sam knew what he wanted to do, but had no idea how to do it. Sam wanted to turn his inventory faster. He wanted to keep much lower levels of stock, and he wanted to have very few out of stocks. I don't know who told Sam this, because I don't think he figured it out himself. He was not really that computer literate. But somebody told Sam, you need a computer if you're going to do that. And Sam, I don't think he knew what a computer was. I had called on Walmart with Jim a number of times. I had met Sam at least twice in the past and helped Jim work out the solution for Walmart. And I kind of did the technical speccing, and he was the sales guy. Well, the day before we were making our final presentation to Walmart, Jim said, I just got a call. They want me in White Plains. I got to leave tomorrow morning to get to New York, and so you're going to have to do the Walmart presentation. So I took, the flip charts that Jim had actually prepared for the presentation. I didn't have to make them. I'd already made them. And I carted my flip chart stand to the Bentonville Bank and set my easel up, and Sam and all the top guys had to listen to me make a presentation. Sam said not a word till the end. The other guys were asking questions. He said, son, we don't pay retail, so you have to take 15% off that price and we'll buy it. Of course, IBM didn't discount in those days
right.
from General Motors, much less Sam Walton, who they considered a nothing. And so we went back being creative, and we reduced the memory, put a slower printer on it, and took features off and say, here's your computer for 15% less he bought it.
I've seen a quote attributed to you that you say privacy is a state of mind. In
yes.
other words, what I think that is referring to is be aware of what you're giving of yourself when it comes to data.
And also companies, you cannot write enough rules to assure that people, here we are, we have at Axiom, think about it, we have all the data for all the citizens of the United States. We have all the credit data. We have all the bank transactional data from Citibank, Chase Bank, Discover, on and on. Largest storehouse of personal data on the planet. Even the federal government doesn't have that kind of data. Maybe they do now with NSA, excuse me. I think maybe that's probably not true. But, we couldn't write rules and tell every Axiom employee how they deal with this data and what rules they follow, we had to say, you have got to understand that privacy and security are your state of mind. It's our collective state of mind. What lengths we go to, we taught people what's right and what's wrong. And, you know, we had the first chief privacy officer in the world, Jennifer Barrett, now Jennifer Barrett Glasgow. And, you know, Jennifer and grew into a team of people, educated the Axiom associates, but also had to educate our customers because a lot of our customers didn't know what privacy really ought to be. So it's just a basic philosophy. It's not something, oh, we'll write a rule book and solve that problem or have procedures. You can't have procedures, rule books, solve these problems. It's a state of mind. It's like it's got to be all our business every day.
Ultimately, are we individuals most responsible for what we share and don't share?
I think we are. And so often, you know, you think about it, you know, kids share everything on Facebook and then can't get a job because of some of the stuff that they posted. I mean, people are their own worst enemy about stuff like this. Quite frankly, I try to pay cash for everything I can pay cash for. I've had my credit card number stolen a number of times, and you know, at least once in Mexico. It happened as recently. I had to get a new credit card as recently as about 3 weeks ago, and it's you know, every time you use your credit card, all your credit data is running through some system. And you know, it just increases the chance that somebody can steal it. It's not like I don't use credit card. I do a lot of online buying where we have no choice, but I try to also use PayPal and some other more secure ways to do things. But yeah, we're on our own worst. We don't think about it. I'm terrible with passwords. I got 150 passwords. The only thing is I just use the same one for everything. Everybody gets my password. I'm sunk.
Charles D. Morgan, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Kyle.
Charles D. Morgan is the CEO and chairman of Privacy Star and is the former chairman and CEO of Axiom. His new memoir is titled Matters of Life and Data, The Remarkable Journey of a Big Data Visionary Whose Work Impacted Millions, Including You. You can learn more at the website mattersoflifeanddata.com. And we'll hear just a bit more from him on Weekend Ozarks at Large, Sunday morning at 9 on KUAF.